Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Octopulse, our Detroit News, Detroit Red Wings podcast. I'm assistant sports editor Mark Faulkner, joined by our beat reporter Ted Colfin. Coming up, we'll hear from University of Michigan forward Kent Johnson. He's 18 years old, a top 10 prospect for the 2021 NHL draft and a possible draft choice of the Red Wings. The Wings right now with the sixth worst record in the NHL, and Johnson is ranked right about that spot. But first, Ted, just two more games in the regular season, Friday and Saturday in Columbus. And if I told you at the beginning of the season that the Wings might finish ahead of Columbus, that defensively, as you noted in your story yesterday at DetroitNews.com, that they would move up to 20th place in goals against, and that they would win one more game than last year in 17 fewer games, that probably would have exceeded your expectations, right?
No, I mean, I don't know about you, Mark, but I think we both suspected they would be an improved team this year. Mm-hmm. And they have been. I mean, they have been. I mean, obviously, it's maybe a little, just a bit disappointing. They haven't reached the 20 mark as far as victories, or in the low 20s. Mm-hmm. Obviously, defensively, they've been, I don't want to say significantly improved, but they've been very much improved. I mean, the stats bear it out, but brother, they still cannot score goals. Mm-hmm. Still ranked last in the league last year, ranked last this season. Somehow or other, until they get that area fixed, I mean, it's going to be lean, tough times. But I think in all, they probably are what we suspected they would be, as Herman mm-hmm. would say. That they are what they are. I mean, I don't want to advise anybody to look at my predictions. Most of them have been pretty horrid at the start of the season. But I did have the Wings finishing ahead of Chicago. So Chicago really proven me very much wrong. But at least right now they are above one team. They're above Columbus. And so I think they kind of maybe matched expectations to a certain point. But boy, tell you what, Mark, until they fix the offense,
right,
we're not going to see too much dramatic improvement from this roster in the long haul.
Let's hear now from Jeff Blashill, one of seven NHL coaches without a contract for next season. We'll find out Blashill's future a week or so after the season wraps up on Saturday. But until then, here's what he had to say about laying the foundation of winning hockey.
Well, I think most importantly, all I've tried to continue to focus on is us improving as a hockey team, is us improving as individuals, and trying to lay a foundation here of winning hockey. And so that we can have days or seasons that are better than today. And to do that, you got to lay the foundation of being a winning hockey team. And that's really what I focus the most on.
Ted, what do you think is going to happen with Jeff Blashill? We've talked about it on the podcast this year. He said the team is better than last year. Defensively, yes. You just mentioned the offense. When they score three goals or more, Ted, they're 14-2. What do you think Steve Yzerman will do, though, with Blashill?
My friend, that's the million-dollar question. And mm-hmm. People around the league, and they have absolutely no gut feeling about this. Could probably make a million pros or cons to bringing him back or mm-hmm. bringing him back. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, obviously, defensively, this team took significant step forward. Some young players began to flourish or are flourishing. Some did not. Some took a minor step back or whatnot. It's going to be a close call, I think, either way. I mean, if you put me next to a burning steak and make a prediction, I'd say 52-48 that he does come back, I think. But obviously, I would not be at all surprised. You can make a lot of valid reasons for not bringing him back, just to get a fresh start going. So it's, and by the way, Mark, I think we'll know by Monday afternoon, by Tuesday lunchtime at the latest. I think.
Okay.
There will be. I'm fairly certain there will be a quick resolution to this, very quick. And like I said, I think push comes to shove. I think he does come back. I think he's proven he can, you know, he still hasn't really worked with a great roster at all here the last several years, but he did get a lot out of, I thought for the most part, he got very much out of this one. Young players are flourishing. There's more young players on the way. He seems to work well with young players. I say he's coming back, but again,
he just 52-48.
I wouldn't be shocked, obviously, otherwise either.
Okay, it's time now for our interview segment with one of Michigan's top-rated players for the 2021 draft. Here's Kent Johnson. Joining us now is Michigan Wolverines forward Kent Johnson, one of the top 10 prospects for the NHL draft in July, and a possible Detroit Red Wing with the first of Steve Yzerman's two first-round draft picks. Kent, welcome to the podcast. You're talking to us today from your family's home in Port Moody, British Columbia, which is just outside of Vancouver. What was it like crossing the border to BC from Ann Arbor? Vancouver was one of North America's hotspots for that new COVID variant, and it shut down the Vancouver Canucks for nearly 3 weeks. Are you done your quarantine, and what are your plans leading up to the 2021 NHL draft?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Mark. And yeah, obviously a little tricky there crossing the borders right now, but I had my 14-day quarantine, and I'm thankfully done that. So I've been out for a bit over a week now, which has been good to get back to my kind of regular routine and get training. But yeah, it's just nice to be home now for sure, and I'm just going to enjoy it.
And what will your routine look like, Kent, over the next few months? Is it hard to tell right now? You're home, you're out of the quarantine, but what are your thoughts about the next 2 months now that the hockey season is over?
Yeah, I mean, basically wherever I am, I'll just be working out in the gym and trying to get a little stronger, a little faster, and then, you know, try to skate. I really enjoy being on the ice in the off season too, so I'll try to skate as much as I can, and yeah, that's about it. And then hang out with the family and friends, obviously.
Good stuff. You know, Kent, before you came to Ann Arbor here for your freshman season, you played 2 years of BC junior hockey with the Trail Smoke Eaters, about 7 hours or so away from Port Moody in Vancouver. The Trail Smoke Eaters are a famous team in Canada. They won two world championships, as you know, way back in 1939 and 1961. And for Red Wing fans, Kent, Trail was the home of coach Bobby Crum, who led Detroit to a 37-point improvement in 1978, and he won the Jack Adams Coach of the Year Award. What does Trail mean to you, and how did those 2 years prepare you for university hockey?
Yeah, no, I love playing in Trail, and I feel, like the town shaped me a bit, and just so lucky I got to play there. It's such, I mean, you know, the hockey history, you just said it, and such an awesome hockey town. We had such good fans, and obviously, you know, great coaching staff there. So it was so much fun to play there for 2 years, and it really got me ready for college hockey.
What was the travel like? Was the BCHL similar to like the OHL and the CHL where you were billeted? Did your parents make the trip? You know, your brothers at Yale, did Kyle make it? What was it like playing in Trail for those 2 years?
Yeah, I was in a billet house and they were really good to me there. So it was a pretty easy transition. Then, you know, my parents would come visit every once in a while, which is nice. Nice that it was, you know, close enough that they could do that. And yeah, so it was just, it was pretty, I mean, travel away games. We were pretty far from other teams, so I got used to being on the bus, but, you know, I kind of learned to love it. So, yeah, it was all good.
Kent, one person who helped with your transition to Ann Arbor was former NHLer Jeff Tambellini, the coach for those 2 years in Trail and now a pro scout with the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Tambellini played 3 years here at the University of Michigan, as you know, from 2002-2005. He won a couple of conference titles. He was a first-round pick by the LA Kings. He scored 27 goals in 242 career games with those Kings, Islanders, and Canucks. And by the way, he was signed by Steve Yzerman in 2015 to play for Tampa Bay's minor league team in Syracuse. And he's now helping in recruiting free agents for Tampa Bay GM Julien Brisebois. What was it like when Jeff Tambellini recruited you, Kent? And what role did he play in your development on and off the ice?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a no-brainer when Jeff was talking to me about coming to Trail. And, you know, I really clicked with him right away. And I could tell that you know, he had my best needs in hand. And, yeah, he was going to do everything he could to help me become the player that I want to be. So, yeah, it was an awesome 2 years there. He taught me so much. And, yeah, it was really just perfect to me.
What were some of the highlights moving on with your freshman season here in Ann Arbor? You went from leading the BCHL, Kent, with 101 points to finishing second in team scoring here with 26 points. You were on that top line with Matt Beniers and on the power play with Owen Power, two other top 10 NHL prospects. You didn't get a chance to win the NCAA title because of the team's last minute positive COVID results, but overall, what do you remember most about year one?
Yeah, just that it was so much fun getting to play every night with the boys and put on the Michigan jersey. It's such a special jersey and such a special rink to play in. Obviously, you know, I hear it's even way better with fans, but it was still so much fun to play for Michigan and the team and the guys we had. It was so much fun to play with them. So just remember all the games, you know, maybe the wins a bit more so, but yeah, so many fun games.
You know, you mentioned playing in historic Yost Arena, Kent. You've been in Yale's historic arena where your older brother Kyle plays. I've been in that Yale Whale rink with its humpback design and wood paneling. It's an architectural marvel built in the 1950s. Yost here was built back in 1923, but it was a field house. And in 1973, they switched it to a hockey rink. And now there's been another 50 years of hockey. So I'm wondering what it's like, what it has been like opening those doors, stepping onto the ice. I know a lot of the older players on the team probably will tell you what it's like with a packed Yost Arena, and maybe that will happen in your second season. But what has it been like playing in this historic arena?
Yeah, I think it was definitely like eye-opening. Like the first week I got there, it was just like, geez, like all I wanted to do was be on the ice, you know, in that rink. Like it was just so cool. Like, you know, especially in the afternoon, there was sun, obviously it was late August. So the natural light coming in, like there's really nothing like it. So yeah, you know, I kind of knew that I was in a special place right away and, you know, didn't want to take it for granted. And yeah, I mean, that's the dream really, to play in a packed Yost. So hopefully that can we can live that out this year.
And tell us a bit about your brother and what it's been like as far as his experience at Yale, one of the Ivy League schools. I believe he received some sort of scholarship as well through the province, probably through BC. Could you tell us a bit about playing hockey or your what it's been like with your watching your brother play?
Yeah, for sure. I've been so lucky to have an older brother going through these experiences before me. You know, like I got to watch him play in the BCHL for 3 years and really made me understand the league more. And then, you know, him switching to college too. And, you know, I had the inside scoop on the NCAA recruiting process and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's just been awesome to have him. And he's been such a great role model for me. So I'm just really lucky to have him.
Kent, your Michigan coach, Mel Pearson, said he's never quite had a freshman class like this in his 40 years of coaching. What was Coach Pearson like as you made the transition to wing from center where you played in Trail? He said you did a better job of knowing when to make a simpler, more direct play. And you also wound up on SportsCenter for that highlight reel goal against Minnesota. But was it easy to find that balance playing on the wing?
Yeah, for sure. I think you know, like maybe a little bit on the wall, like first couple of games, I wasn't like as comfortable, but then after that, like it's pretty much not too hard to transition once you get that little detail figured out. So, yeah, just that mostly, you know, I made it easier, playing with great teammates I had. So, yeah, you know, like I played a little bit of wing when I was younger and I think I can always transition from both either or. So, it doesn't really matter too much to me.
How good is Big Ten hockey, Kent? You came from a league where you dominated and was named one of Canada's best players, and you came to one of the bigger schools in the United States. But I'm just wondering, how big of a jump has it been? Was it this first year? Your team was a strong team in the Big Ten, but if your hockey friends were asking you, as you observed your brother playing in the BCHL, what was that jump like for you?
Yeah, no, definitely it's faster and stronger, and I think the big thing's more structured, and, you know, like some of my friends asked about it, and
sure,
you know, especially that one weekend that sticks out is we kind of killed Michigan State the first night, like 8-0. And then the next night we ended up losing a tight one, like 3-2. And the guy's like, how does that happen? I'm like, it's a good league. Like, that's really it. Like, you know, obviously we had them the first night, but, you know, they play a structured defensive game, and it's not that easy to just pile on the goals every night. So yeah, definitely no matter who you're playing, you know, it's going to be a battle every night. So that's what makes the hockey so fun.
Kent, I talked to Owen Power earlier this year about not being allowed to attend the Canadian junior camp because of school concerns. He would have missed nearly 2 months of school. You and Owen watched that gold medal game, he said, between Canada and the U.S. with Matt Beniers, Cam York, and Brendan Brisson winning the gold medal with a 2-0 win. Now, Owen said he would love to play for Canada if he's invited again for the 2022 Worlds in Edmonton. How about you? If COVID is under control, and if there's a normal 2-week camp, and if you're invited and allowed to attend, would you like to have a chance to represent Canada?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I've desired for a long time. So yeah, that's what I'd want to be. That's where I want to be next Christmas. I think that would definitely be something, you know, pretty special to play for my country and, you know, play with my friend Owen, obviously. And I think, yeah, we really want to do that together. And I think that was pretty motivating, like watching together and watching them lose the gold medal game, just being like, yeah, like, you know, next year we can help them out and hopefully do what, you know, we saw our friends do for USA, which I know they had a blast doing.
And there's so many other steps, of course, but yes, so that would be something that is possible. If there's a shorter camp, there's no COVID, nothing major, that makes sense. Just a couple last questions, Kent, about the draft. First, what surprised you the most playing alongside Matt Beniers and Owen Power? Matt played 2 years here with the National Team Development Program before coming to Michigan, and Owen played 2 years with the Chicago Steel of the United States Hockey League. In Bob McKenzie's draft ranking, all 10 of the 10 scouts had Owen as the number one player, Beniers number four, Luke Hughes, who was on our podcast earlier and who is going to Michigan next year, he'll join you there, he's number five. You were number eight on Bob McKenzie's draft list, and one scout had you second overall. There's just 10 scouts there, but how about your teammates, Beniers and Power? Could you tell us a bit about what it was like? You've met them for the first time. You've made friendships with a lot of your teammates, but what stands out about those players when you're on the ice with them, especially Beniers, your center?
Yeah, well, I mean, Beniers, you know, I could kind of notice it pretty quickly that, you know, he just doesn't really seem to get tired like most other guys. You know, motor's pretty crazy and, you know, helps make him a special player. And I think, you know, just how he plays all over the ice, you know, he's always moving and, you know, can get plays really good in transition, getting you out of the D zone. So, yeah, I just love playing with him and love building chemistry with him throughout the year. And then Owen, like right away, I noticed it, you know, it's just really cool to watch, honestly, like how big he is. And then,
yeah,
the fact that he's not just that big, but he's got like all the skills that, you know, like some smaller guys would have. Like he can stick out really well, and his skating and his edge work is it's really, really fun to watch, really. And then his hockey mind obviously is great. So yeah, you know, like playing with those two guys, it was just so much fun. And you know, I'm really happy for them and the success they're having. Can't wait to, you know, see where they end up here too at the draft.
And you know, Kent, you must really be looking forward to year two. Back on campus and playing in at Yost Arena, as we were mentioning earlier, with Power and Beniers. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about how things went with Coach Pearson and the things we talked about, the transition to the new position, but what are your thoughts about the improvements that you're thinking about? You said you're at about 170 pounds now, and you'll come back, of course, you'll have some time to get ready for year two. What are your thoughts about Coach Pearson and perhaps your role in year two?
Yeah, you know, Coach has been great to me. And, you know, after the season, obviously he talked about, you know, just some plans for me in the off season, you know, and we're on the same page. Like we, we both think, you know, just get a little bit faster for me, a bit more explosive, and obviously, you know, a little bit stronger. So yeah, I know we're on the same page. We want to both want me to be the best player I can for the team next year. So yeah, it's always good to, you know, be on the same page with your coach like that.
And finally, Kent, what about the possibility of being drafted by the Red Wings, who have the seventh worst record in the NHL today and could be drafting right around where you might be available? I asked Luke Hughes about being drafted by the Red Wings. He said it would be awesome. He said Detroit's been his home since ninth grade. He lives in Canton. And while playing for U.S. hockey, he's had the chance. He'll be going to the University of Michigan next year. He also said any of the 32 teams would be great. But what if Detroit drafts you? What would that mean to you, Kent?
Yeah, you know, it'd be really special. I mean, I know, you know, when I was growing up, Detroit was just this powerhouse that made the playoffs, like, I don't know how many straight years, like 20-something, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, Datsyuk was one of my favorite players. And they were just such a fun team to follow and had such a rich history. And I know that you know, like, everyone just wants them to get back to those kind of days. And I know how much the team means to this city. And yeah, obviously, that, you know, that's the type of market that you want to play in. So obviously, you know, any team like Luke said is great, but Detroit would be definitely a great team to go to as well.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, isn't it? 25 straight years they made the playoffs. 25 straight years. There are some teams like Buffalo, they'll miss the playoffs this year for 10 straight. Detroit's at 5, the longest they've ever gone without making the playoffs at 7. So, just quickly, were the Vancouver Canucks growing up in Port Moody, was that your team as well? So Datsyuk and the Wings were winning, but were the Canucks one of your favorite teams? Did you get a chance to see them, you and your brother Kyle?
Yeah, no, we watched a lot of games, so the Canucks were definitely our favorite team. It wasn't like, I don't want to get the record wrong, that I was really rooting for Detroit at the time. You know, I did love Datsyuk, and I know one year, like, they were close to not making the playoffs, and I was definitely rooting for them to make the playoffs, but yeah, Canucks were my team, so they were definitely the ones I was rooting for.
Kent, thanks for your time today talking about your hockey background in BC, what you're doing now in Ann Arbor, and what you would like to accomplish moving forward. All the best at the NHL draft, Kent.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark.
Our thanks to Kent Johnson. And now let's hear from Joe Valeno, drafted 30th overall with the first of those Thomas Tatar draft picks. He's a two-way, 200-foot player who has put up offensive numbers in the past, scoreless in 4 games. Here he is talking to you, Ted, about his NHL debut in Columbus last week.
Hey, Joe, were there any nerves at all, or did you feel kind of natural just skating onto the ice here tonight? And or did you ever look across the ice and it's like, oh, wow, that's Seth Jones or Patrick Laine over there? How did it feel that way?
Yeah, obviously, it's you know, quite surprising, obviously, knowing that you're playing on the same stage as those guys. You know, they're in, you know, they're superstars in the league. And, you know, for me to be out there on the ice with them, it's pretty special and you know, shocking to me. But, you know, I kind of tell myself, you know, I'm here now and, you know, this is what it's going to be. If I want to play in the NHL, you know, you're going to have to go up against the best of the best. And, you know, hopefully that's going to be me one day, you know, someone else saying that, but it was quite special to kind of step out the ice and, you know, go for a skate and warm up and, you know, kind of feel the butterflies a little bit and the nerves going through, but they're exciting nerves and it's obviously a great feeling stepping on the ice for an NHL game.
You couldn't tell on TV, but did they give you the lap? I mean, did you go out there for a lap all by yourself or not?
No lap here.
All right, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Ted, what do you think about Joe Valeno's game, and where do you see him slotting into either Jeff Blashill's team next year or maybe another coach who might try and open things up a little bit? What do you make of his 4 games so far?
That's such a small sample size, Mark, but I was impressed. I think he definitely improved over last time I saw him when one of the training camps or whatnot. I think looks like he's gotten stronger on his skates, physically stronger, very accountable defensively. He's played very well defensively, had some good scoring opportunities. So, yeah, at this point, Mark, I'd be surprised if he's not one of the top 12 forwards going into next season. I think he's progressed nicely in the minors and then this year in Sweden. And he looks like he's played some pro hockey, obviously. So I think there's definitely a future for this young man. He's looked good and good two-way center. I think that's what everybody is looking for these days. I think he's a very accountable, safe two-way center, a player coaches can trust in.
Ted, you also talked to Jonathan Bernier after Sunday's 2-1 loss against the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Bernier made 40 saves, and he continued the hot goaltending of late. Thomas Greiss had back-to-back shutouts and was named Player of the Week. But here's Bernier talking about this rather unusual COVID-delayed season.
It's been a strange season all the way around, but it feels kind of weird to have – I mean, last home game already and, you know, not too many people in the arena. I mean, did it feel anything different, you think, or what?
To be honest, the whole year felt surreal almost and just didn't feel right. And, you know, mentally and physically was a very hard year for everyone and for every player in the NHL. And, you know, I can't believe it's already we got two more games left, but hopefully by September we can start on time and we can have fans for sure. That's it's not as fun, you know. I'll be honest with you. It's you know, you're obviously playing for your teammates, for your jersey, for your city. But having fans just brings that extra energy sometimes that you need, and you know, we need them in a building.
John, the last one. What was the toughest part about this season?
Physically was obviously playing a lot of games in short period of time. That was really hard, and mentally was just, you know, getting tested every day, no days off. You know, even on days off, you had to still come to the ring and get tested. So it just felt like every day you were, it was just a grind mentally, you know, on that point. And, you know, and obviously not winning a lot of games. That's probably the toughest point.
Really couldn't get away from the game then. I mean, if you're coming, I mean, every day you were, you know, coming to the rink and stuff. I mean, there wasn't much of a mental break, I would think, then.
No, exactly. There's not much. But at the same time, everyone's doing it. And, you know, even on the road, you know, you got to stay in the hotel. You can't really leave. And we just had to follow the rules that the NHL gave us. And but every team did that. So there's no excuses.
Good stuff. Thanks, Fish, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Ted, what do you make of Jonathan Bernier's comments? No excuses, he says. Every team had to handle the COVID situation. How do you think the Red Wings handled things?
My big question, do we know for sure there's going to be an excessive amount, full amount of fans in the arenas? I don't get that impression that every arena is going to open up. I mean, it seems like there's still some markets where, obviously in Canada, they're still way behind, it seems like. I mean, they're still ways off. I don't know. You do wonder. And, boy, there's another thing, Mark, I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, you talk about short off seasons. I mean, we're talking, what, the Stanley Cup Finals probably playing in the mid-July, from what I gather. That's going to be a quick turnaround because they are projecting to start training camp in mid-September. So those Stanley Cup finalists are only going to get 2 months off, and boom, you're going into a training camp and then, well, hopefully an 82-game season with an Olympics. That's a lot of hockey in a short period of time, and I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch. I think everybody's looking for that normalcy for sure. Boy, people, the fans, you did miss the fans this season. You really did. It just different type of almost eerie atmosphere in the arena. We'll see. Hopefully it will be a normal, more normal type of season. I don't think anybody, didn't sound like the players, they enjoyed playing hockey, obviously. It's their lifeblood. I mean, it's what they put, you know, that's what they get paid for, and it's their careers. But I don't think it was an easy season mentally, for sure. I mean, especially on the road, seemed like they were trapped in those hotel rooms, more or less. And obviously, you know, there were quite a few hiccups along the way, games being not as much for the Red Wings, but rescheduled games, canceled games, postponed games. It was a quirky season, but thank goodness we all got through it. And it was good to have hockey back for sure, obviously.
And that'll do it for today's podcast, episode 52. For more Red Wings coverage, you can check out Ted's stories at DetroitNews.com. And you can also find us on our Octopals Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, Instagram stories, and Snapchat. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk again next week.